Blog Talk Radio.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song. I deliver it from my enemy till all my fear has come. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Good evening, everybody. This is Reaching Out Radio International. I'm Evangelist Prophet Edward Eberle, host of the program God's Hour of Truth. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you tonight here in the United States as well as around the world. There's many here that are listening, and we just thank God for the great opportunity to minister to you. I thank God that I have the opportunity to have a program here and to minister the Word of God because I consider it an honor and a privilege. I enjoy teaching and preaching God's Word, and I enjoy seeing God move upon the lives of people, touching people with His power. And that's why when I come on the program each week, I'm prepared with the anointing and the presence of the Lord in my life because I believe in the anointing destroys the yoke. And when that anointing's on any program, no matter whose program it is, whether it's my program or any of the other programs here, God's going to do a work in your life. So I want you to expect tonight God to move in a special way in your life because if you anticipate, if you expect, God won't disappoint you, okay? And again, I'd like to welcome everybody, and I just thank God for this wonderful privilege of being here tonight. Before we get into anything, now let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him just to bless this service tonight and to touch each and every one of us, okay? Be in agreement with me now. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we just thank you for this wonderful privilege to be on Reaching Out Radio in this program tonight, God's Hour of Truth. Father, I just ask that you bless it, you anoint it, give me the words to say. Move in a special way this evening, Father. Touch each and everyone that's anticipating and expecting you to move in their lives, Father. And Father, just open their hearts, open their ears. And Father, give me those words to say. I break every force of darkness that would try to intervene, try to mess the people's minds up, to corrupt the minds, or try to cause them to drift off or just really go to sleep or anything. If you would try to do Satan, you will not do it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You will free these people. You have no place in any person now in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. And they all said, amen, and amen, and amen. This evening, we're going to be ministering part two of what is called, What Are We Delivered From? Part two. Last week, we began with part one. So if you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you to go back in the on-demand section and listen to that because it's a special message also, and we're going to pick up where we left off. It's on the on-demand section. Now, tonight also, before we get started, I'm going to ask that you get your pencils and paper because, first of all, you really need to take notes. There'll be notes for you to take. Many times God will speak to you during a message and to take notes. And then also at the end of the program, I'm going to give you my email and also my website. And so I want to give you that information, so I'm just kind of speak to you ahead of time here a little bit. So, okay, we're going to go into part two of this message, What Are We Delivered From? And if you have your Bible, Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent His word. He sent Jesus, the living word, to heal us and deliver us from anything and everything that tried to destroy us. Everything. He sent His word. He sent Jesus to deliver us from whatever we have need of. So we have to keep that in mind. That's what God did for us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to the cross that He could pay our sin debt and get us freed from anything that would try to hurt us on this earth here, any works of darkness or any works of Satan at all. In fact, He delivered us into His kingdom of His dear Son, away from the spirit of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, into His dear Son, and His dear Son's kingdom. So that's where we are, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are seated in heavenly places right now, those of us that know Jesus Christ. The other scripture I have is Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not be priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So the first part here, my people are destroyed for all. What we don't know can hurt us. You know, you hear in the world sometimes people will say, what we don't know won't hurt us. Well, in the spiritual world, what we don't know can kill us. I'll tell you what I mean. Satan has no mercy. And if you don't know something, if he can take advantage of you, he will do that. So, you see, it's important that we study to show ourselves approved and know the Word of God. Now, what we're going to learn tonight and what we learned last week in part one, what are we delivered from? And we've learned several things last week, and we're going to learn some more this week. But that doesn't mean when you're delivered from it that when you hear this, you say, well, I'm not to be sick anymore. I'm not going to have this anymore. I'm not going to have that because I'm delivered from it. What that means is, yes, we are delivered from it, but what does not mean that things won't try to come at you. And that's why you and I have to contend for the faith, because when something tries to attack our bodies, something tries to attack our minds, we're attacked by things to the contrary of the Word of God. We do spiritual warfare against the enemy because the Word of God says that by His strength we've been made whole. It says we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We don't have to take the things that Satan brings our way, and that's what it's all about. You see, a lot of people, when we teach on what we are delivered from, when something happens to them contrary to what that teaching is, right away they say, well, I thought I was delivered from this. Why in the world is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Well, you see, that's where we have to contend for the faith. The Word of God says, by my stripes you're made whole. Your body, or maybe the doctor says you're sick. Now, we don't deny the fact of sickness being a reality, but what we do deny is he has no right for sickness in our bodies, the devil, you see. The devil has no right. Sickness does not belong to us. Disease, sin, these things don't belong in our life. So we need to rid our lives of the things that don't belong to us by the Word of God. And this is what we're learning. We're learning what are we delivered from that we don't have to put up with. That we don't have to put up with, that we can get rid of, you see, because God made a way, he made provision for us. And I believe, as I said last week, it's like an antidote. We have an antidote that against the poison that Satan brings our way. God gave us the antidote, and the antidote is in the Word of God and how to use that antidote. And that's why I'm on the air here teaching and preaching, because the thing is, how would you hear without a preacher? How would you hear without a teacher? We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God so we know what to do, you say. Okay? Now, these things, as we said a few minutes ago, they are not automatic. They are not automatic. They come to us by the promises, but we have to contend for the faith in order to be in the place that we're going to receive these things, you see. They are promised to us, and that's why we stand on the promises of God. So as we go forth, this evening, we're going to start out with part two of this message right now. It's called Lack of Fulfillment, part two. Okay? Or not Lack of Fulfillment, but the program name, which is What Are We Delivered From? And the other thing we're delivered from, another part, is lack of fulfillment. We begin with lack of fulfillment. We are delivered from lack of fulfillment. And that means, in 2 Timothy 4:6, it says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished in the course, and I have kept the faith. As we see, it was lack of fulfillment in the realm of how our lives, we can feel that we lack fulfillment in our lives. We just have not accomplished anything in our lives. We just don't have a filling life. We live, why did we live? What was the purpose for our living, you say? Well, Paul wrote this right here. He said he was ready to leave. He said, I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. Now I'm ready to be taken home. He said, I've kept the faith. So when we follow Jesus Christ, as Paul followed Jesus Christ and was obedient unto him, you're going to get to the place that you're going to, when you're done, God is done with you on this earth, then you'll be ready to leave this earth. Because, see, he has a plan for your life, and that plan is fulfilling because you know that you're doing what God has you to do, and when you know you're doing what God has you to do, you will be fulfilled because within you'll know that you did what you were to do. And that's why we need to follow the Holy Spirit in all that we do and be obedient to the Lord, because we're going somewhere, you say. We're going somewhere when we follow the Lord and are obedient to him. We won't be saying, well, when we're elderly, saying, well, my life is not fulfilled at all. What I do in my life, it means nothing. I'm old, and now I've done nothing. I've accomplished nothing. You see, and that's a terrible thing. A person that's really old in years and says, well, I've done nothing. My life has been a wasted life. But you have a fulfilling life in Jesus Christ because he sees to that. You see, he has a fulfilling, special life, exciting life for everybody. Everybody, not just people who are in certain ministries, maybe famous, large ministries, but every person, whether that person's a janitor in the church or whether they're a world-renowned minister, it makes no difference because the fulfillment of Jesus Christ in your life gives you great things in your life, great joy, great peace, great strength, great everything, you see, that it you are blessed, you see. It's not on your in your calling. It's in your obedience to the Lord and his presence in your life is where we're receiving all this from. It isn't how much money we have, how famous we are, how big of a ministry we have. It's our relationship to him and doing what he has called us to do and being obedient to that call that fulfills us, you see. We are fulfilled. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is fulfilled if they follow the Lord and are obedient to him. So fulfillment is a promise. The only way we can mess up with that is if we don't follow the Lord in obedience and try to do our own thing and do what we want to do, then, of course, we're not going to be fulfilled. But God's way and his plan fulfills us. So we've been delivered from regret, especially regret, because we can't turn the clock back. And if we live an older age, and we after we live that age, if we didn't do what we should do, if we didn't follow the Lord, didn't obey the Lord, and did our own thing, we can't turn the clock back. But we can sure start where we're at to be obedient to the Lord and make good the rest of our time on this earth. You see, no matter how old you are, no matter how unfulfilled you are, you might have messed up 60 years of your life. You might be 60 years old. You say, my, oh, my, I messed up 60 years of my life. But if you mess that up, you can start right now. You can start a new life right now in Jesus Christ and be fulfilled. That's a beautiful thing about God. You can jump on that train at any time, but the sooner you jump on that train of Jesus Christ, the better off you and I are, you see. So any regret that I have, I was 26 years old when I got saved. And the only regret that I have is I didn't get saved sooner. That's the regret I have, you see. I was saved at 26. Some people are saved. I've known people who are saved at 4. And some people are 60, 70, 80 years old. But the longer you are in Jesus, the better off you are. So he's kept us or delivered us from a life that's meaningless, unfulfilling. And he gives us a fulfilling life. Okay, the next thing is being bound to any addictions. Being bound to any addictions. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That simply means that things that are good to do, I will not be in a place that they dictate to me that I will do them and I can't help myself from doing them. Just like some people say, well, I can't help it drinking so many cups of coffee a day, or I can't help not going to a football game or maybe to the races or watching television. I just can't control myself. I just got to see this. I got to do that. You see, there's nothing wrong with watching a good TV program. There's nothing wrong with going to races or doing things like that or drinking a cup of coffee. But what is wrong if we are addicted to it? Now, addiction, we think a lot of times is like drugs, pornography, tobacco, alcohol, things like that, things that are not good for us or wrong for us. But addictions can be on the good things, too, that we're under the power of those things that we can't control ourselves. We just got to have it. I got to have it. Well, that's what this scripture means when Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6:12. I will not be addicted to anything, you see. He's delivered us from these things. And matter of fact, when we get into some other things in Isaiah 53:5, it says that he was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, we know what wounded means. It means when he was wounded for our transgressions, that means his body was cut in the outside, like with the spear, of course, in the side, and with the nails in his hands and his feet, and things like this. He was beaten. He was cut with the crown of thorns in his head. It cut into his skin, his head. That was outer. That was wounds. That was outside, you see, where he bled. But when it says he was bruised for our iniquities, a bruise is within, you see. It's blood within. It's bruised within. It's bleeding in the inside. wounds are bleeding on the outside, but bruises are bleeding on the inside. And he was bruised inside, shed his blood inside for our inner problems, like curses, generational curses, problems we have, maybe jealousy, pride, anything, things that aren't seen on the outside, you see, inner things. And I'm not going to get into this tonight, but generational curses, things that have you bound up from within. That blood was shed by his bruises, and you and I are delivered because of the bruises. His blood shed as bruises, you see. He was bruised for our iniquities, the wrong of us, the sin of us, the things that are wrong. That bruise was the blood that he paid for us, you see. So he did that also for us, that we will not be bound to anything. You see, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He doesn't want you and I to be bound in anything. John 8:32 says that we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The truth will make us free. And we know that truth, you see. And it's the truth that we put into practice, the truth that we know that makes us free. The truth itself doesn't make us free. It's the truth that you and I know and practice that makes us free, you see. We have to know that truth. And you see, as I said a few minutes ago, what happens is that when things happen in our life, contrary to what the Bible says, we say, hey, this isn't for me. I'm not going to take this. So in the name of Jesus Christ, by his stripes I've been made whole. Or if it's like fear comes upon you, God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power. He gave me love and a sound mind. Anything like that, anything that's contentious, it comes at you from the devil, you don't have to take it, you say. So we are free from all those things, but we have to fight or contend the faith to overcome them, you see. And that's where our part is. Jesus' part was he paid. He shed his blood that we could be free. He freed us by his blood. God freed us through his Son by his blood, death, burial, and resurrection. But it's up to you and I to believe that in faith, trust that, and act upon that, and make that a reality in our life, you see. You and I need to make that a reality, not just the Bible says this. Yes, the Bible says this, but it's up to you and I to make that a reality in our lives. And the only way we can do that is by faith and trusting him and expecting it, you see, because it's ours. He bought it. It's real. It's real, you see. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Don't allow it to happen. You see, it's almost like something I use a lot of time, the illustration about Paul. You know, he walked on water supernaturally when Jesus bid him to come out. But the thing about it was the contentions of what was around him, the storm and the wind and everything blew around him, and he was focused on Jesus. And instead of staying focused, remember, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he sank, wasn't it? So you see, we can't leave the things that come at us while we're doing these things, take our eyes off what that word says. And we're not looking at Jesus like we see him as a man, like he saw him as a man, Peter, when he walked in that water. But we see and know the word, and we can't leave circumstances, feelings, what people say, negative thoughts and things that come against us, contrary to what we're believing for, cause us to take our eyes off that word and start to doubt it, you see, because that doubting is how you lose out. You lose the blessings by doubt, and that's what the devil's job is, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's to steal our faith, you see, he says in Romans 10:10, he said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Stealing is when he steals that word from you, when you're focused on that word, and then he brings wrong thoughts to you, wrong feelings, or somebody say the wrong thing, and just to mess you up, that you will take your eyes off of the word, you see. We have to stay focused on what the word says and stand firm in that, you see. We're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, is what Jesus said when he replied to the devil when he was tempted in those 40 days that he was in the mountain there, when he was fasting for 40 days. He said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Every word that proceeds out of his mouth. We live by the word. And when we are hooked onto that, and we are fastened on that, we're fixed upon that, we become unmovable, and something's going to happen. It's got to happen because God's word is true. Otherwise, his word would be a lie. So if you have a right heart and you're standing on that word, there's no way the devil is going to bring anything that's going to stay on you. It's got to leave, you see, or otherwise the devil will be stronger than God. We know better than that. So the key to us, for us, is to keep our eyes focused and keep focused, believe in that word, and accept nothing less than that, no matter what and who says what, how, or when. The word says this, but God says this, but God says that, you see. We go by what God says, not by what man says, you see. So he wants you free from any addiction. He will free you tonight from any addiction by his power, by his love, you see. But you have to want to be freed. You have to want to be free. He freed me from smoking way back in 1971. He freed me from smoking, but I came to the place that I wanted to quit. I wanted to give it up. When you mean business with God, when you mean business that I want to quit this, I want to stop that, and you put forth the effort and ask him to help you, he'll step in. The Holy Spirit will step in and help you. But if you're half-hearted or double-minded about it, he won't. Because he said, let not a double-minded man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. So you have to mean business, you see. This Christian walk, today, so many people kind of half-hearted about this thing. They just kind of a little bit here, dabble a little there. But God wants you and I to take it seriously. In fact, God spoke recently and said that he is disappointed about how they don't take his word seriously, how people don't take his word seriously. And isn't that so true? They'll go so far then they just let up or do something that way. But he wants us to take his word seriously, period. Believe it completely. He wants our complete attention on that. And if you and I will do that, we will be set free from anything. Nothing will bind us, you see. We'll be free. We'll be free spirit. Fall in the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing is being deceived. We don't have to be deceived, you know. He said in James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, we're to ask him, and he'll give it to us liberally, and he won't upbraid us or he won't reek us for it in any way. He won't look down upon it. He'll give it to us. He said, I'll give it to you. You ask me for wisdom, and I'll give it to you, and I'll upbraid not in the wisdom I give you. But we have to want and desire that wisdom. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment. So in order not to be deceived, we have to have wisdom and discernment to be able to discern things. And he's made that available to you and I, you see, that we can discern, have discernment and wisdom, that we're not going to get messed up by people leading us the wrong way or be messed up by familiar spirits trying to lead us on the wrong track or the wrong trail. But there again, we have to ask for discernment and wisdom, but we will see these things. Many times in my life, I have experienced where I'd have discernment on something and have wisdom on something, and it would not be what it appeared to be. Everybody would think it was a hero. That person was a wonderful person. Everything was great about them, but God would show me if there was something wrong. And you couldn't see it on the outside. If you didn't have discernment, they would be a superstar almost. You'd consider them almost a superstar. But when you have wisdom and discernment, then sometimes those red flags go up, and that's why we need that, because if those red flags don't go up, we can be deceived, you see. Because the Antichrist is the biggest deceiver of all, and of course he won't come on the scene to the churches out of here. But you see, that's the spirit of Antichrist, which is on this earth right now, so we have a lot of people are deceiving and deception. A lot of them are in the pulpits. And unfortunately, people are being led astray. That's why it's so important that you and I need discernment, and we need to have wisdom about things. And we need to judge things by the word of God, you see. Know them by the fruits. And we do judge. We judge. We don't judge a person's destination or judge their heart. See, that's the part that they say, well, we aren't to judge people. That's true. We don't know their hearts. We don't judge people's hearts. But we are known by the fruit, so there's a certain amount of judgment there that we recognize what they're doing. Or otherwise, if we have blind eyes to what everybody does, they could keep doing what they want to do, and we'd always just let them keep on doing it, you see. In other words, if they fool you once, oh my, they fool you a second time, oh me, you see. So like the old saying that they're there. So we need to have our eyes open this last stage here, because there's more deception, deceiving, going on, and it's just almost unreal. It's just a cesspool. It's a cesspool what's going on in deception and people being deceived and led astray. So we need the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And you don't go with the crowd. Go with what the Holy Spirit put in your heart. Don't try to be a fitter-inner in a crowd to fit in the crowds. I mean, I like to fit in with people. I know you do. We all like to fit in and be loved. That's normal for us. But when it comes to doing the right thing or the wrong thing, I'd rather do the right thing and not fit in than the wrong thing and fit in, you see. I want to please God. I'm not looking to please people, because if I am, I'm not pleasing God, you see. I'm not putting him first because I choose to please man, then God second if it's convenient, you see. And too many people, when the occasion rises, they'll please God, but if it goes against them or puts them in a hard spot, they're going to compromise. And there's no room for compromising. You cannot compromise as a Christian. You're serving God, or otherwise you lose. If you compromise, you lose, you see. So remember that. Leave God judge and guide and give you the wisdom in your life that when you're around people, we're ready to make certain decisions, that know what you're in. Be wise about that thing. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish and allow things to mess you up, because there's been a lot of people's lives, their financial lives, their lives and everything has been destroyed by people that are just deceiving them in a hard, terrible way. So we don't have to be deceived. Okay, the next thing is loneliness. Let me read Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even until till the end of the world. Okay, we have to believe that Jesus never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always with us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us. Now, the enemy tries to make you feel lonely many times, because as you're following the Lord and obedient to him, sometimes it seems like, where are the people at? Where are my friends at? Where's my family at? Where's this one out of that? You almost feel alone. And then the devil, when you have that type of feeling in, the enemy comes into you and really pours it onto you and makes you feel like nobody loves you, nobody cares. Even God doesn't love you or doesn't care for you. You see, he'll try to make you feel that way, because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So some of the persecution is people staying away from you. They avoid you like the plague. So remember, Jesus never leaves you or forsakes you. He's always with you. We must keep that peace and keep that within our heart, or otherwise we'll feel like the Lone Ranger, you see. And I've had that feeling many times. I feel like everybody's left me. Everything and everybody is gone. Nobody cares. Even God doesn't care. And I actually have that feeling. But yet, his word says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'm always there, no matter where and how you sense me. You see, a lot of times people measure the presence of the Lord by the sensing or what they feel in the spirit. I don't like to use the word feel, but what they're sensing in the spirit. But sometimes there's no sensing at all in you. You sense nothing. It seems like you're empty. But yet, it's during those times that we are tested. Knowing, is Jesus still with us? We believe that word that Jesus is still with us, even though I don't feel it, I don't sense it. It seems like he's gone. He's a million miles away. But is he still with me? See, and that's, I believe God purposely withdraws himself sometimes, that we sense not even his presence, in order to see how much and try to encourage us to believe his word more and not have to have the sensing all the time of the Holy Spirit, you see. Because he wants us to take him at his word, not just by when we sense things all the time. So often, see, we're a creature of feelings, and those feelings can get us into trouble. Too often, people's feelings and emotions get them going the wrong way, because if we obey our emotions, we're going to walk contrary to God's word, because we're going to do what we feel like doing. You know what the old man feels like doing, right? So we have to be at the place that, and loneliness, as we're talking about here, that no matter what we're feeling, the word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always. I love you. I'm there. I'm present with you. And when you do that, you'll sense his presence. You commence to praise him and just think about him and read his word, and his presence will come upon you, and you'll be restored. There'll be a restoration there, because it's just like you hit a dry pocket. But when you praise him and just consider him with you and read his word, his presence will be back with you. But there's times that we are tested like that. Just what we believe. Do we believe what the word says, that we always have to have this or that happen, you see? He wants us to take him at his word, you see. Remember the centurion. Remember what Jesus said to him. Remember he went up there and he asked him to heal his servant, his one of his men. And Jesus wanted to come to his house. He said, no, I'm not worthy. He said, just speak the word and I know he'll be healed. It's your word, he'll be healed. Well, we don't have Jesus speaking to us in person, but we have his word, the Bible, speaking to us, and that's the same thing here, because it's his word, you see. So at his word, is it done? We're going to be like a centurion and say, it's your word, it's done? Or not going to accept it that way, you see. So it's a matter of us accepting that word. And there again, we contend for the faith. Contend for what faith? The faith of what God's word says about us, who we are, what he's doing for us, what he does for us, what he's already done, who we are, everything, what we have to contend with, what we don't have to put up with, what we're free from. And that's where our subject is, our subject matter is, what we're free from, you see, and knowing these things. But we have to believe that word, you see. So we're free from loneliness when the enemy brings that loneliness spirit upon us to try to cause us to just be discouraged and feel like it's all over. We have nothing or nobody. Okay, the next thing that's more familiar than most, sickness and disease. Okay. Psalms 103:3, who forgives all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Proverbs 4:22 says, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Okay, the word of God is life to all those that find the word and health to all their flesh. So God's word is life and healing. Those that find them, that means knowing the truth. Know what you know. It's not the truth itself. It's what you know makes you free. So those that find or know, it's made health and healing to them, you see, and life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We were healed, not going to be healed, but we were healed 2,000 years ago. So we are just receiving the promise that Jesus made 2,000 years ago, you see. It's a done deal as far as Jesus is concerned, but it's up to you, you and I, to accept it by faith and act upon it and make it real in our lives, you see. And that's where it comes in. You see, the promises of God are two parts. God did his part with his son, Jesus. Now he handed it to you and I. Now he says, son, daughter, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to believe what I did? Are you going to accept this? Or are you going to pass on? Are you going to just go by what you feel, what you think, or what people says, or what the doctor says? Now, I acknowledge there's sickness and disease in the world. Of course, everybody knows that. But I realize the word of God supersedes that, you see. That's facts. Facts, there is sickness, right? Sickness is a fact. It's real. It's not a deception. It's real. Sickness is real. It's a fact. But truth overshadows and overcomes fact. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes, you and I have always been made whole. The truth is, we've been made whole. The fact is, there's sickness there. We don't go by the fact, we go by the truth. The truth overshadows that. The truth knocks out the fact, you see. Because, you see, God has authority over all sickness, all disease. And not only that, you know, we say about the law of gravity, the laws of nature, and the physical laws, and all these type of laws. Well, God created these laws, so God intervenes in these laws. You see, man says, well, the law of gravity, what goes up must come down. That's true for man. But with God, what goes up doesn't have to come down. He can hold it in midair, you see, because God created gravity in these laws, you see. So God intervenes, you see. And this is what we're talking about. God intervenes in areas. And what God has done for you and I, if we believe it by faith, we will receive it. We will receive it, but we must believe it by faith and dare to believe it, because too often we consider what our ability is or what the doctor's ability is, what man says, what science says. We have to consider God. In fact, whenever the man that was lame at the gate there, when the two, remember Peter and the disciple, saw him at the gate beautiful, and of course they spoke to him, silver and gold have we none, but what we do have, we give unto you, and rise up and walk. Well, they were out with this man there, and they were talking to some of the other religious leaders of that time, and they wanted to try to praise. The people tried to praise Peter and John, disciple, what happened. They tried to give them praise what happened. They said, hey, Peter said, it wasn't us that did this thing. It was Jesus and faith in his name that did it. So, see, they focused on Jesus and in the name of Jesus, you see, and that's what gets healing. That's what brings healing forth. That's what brings results. That's what brings miracles. Focusing on Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, and faith in his name, that in his name, remember he said, anything that you want, you ask my Father, in my name, and he will give it to you according to my word, according to the word of God, they say. So focusing on Jesus and in his name is what brings things to pass, folks. That's what brings things to pass. That's what brings miracles to pass. That's what gives you peace. That gives you joy, fulfillment, not being bound with addictions, not being lonely. It's in his name and Jesus, you see, focusing on him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed on thee because he trusts in thee," you see. We have peace, you see. We have joy. And all this is in fulfillment. You know, we have joy, peace, and everything in Jesus Christ. We don't have to be fretful. We don't have to be in turmoil. We don't have to be unhappy. We don't have to be miserable. We are to be joyful. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, to give it more abundantly," in John 10:10, right? "I've come to give you life, give it more abundantly to you." But he said, "The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy," you see. But he come to give us life. Now, are we going to receive that life that Jesus has for us and these things that I went over thus far and then last week? And I'm not saying these are everything, because there's many things we're freed from, many, many things. But he said, "Are you going to accept my abundant life and be free from what I freed you from? Or are you going to leave the enemy steal that word from you and steal, kill, and destroy you," you say? So it's a choice we make to follow Jesus and what he told us, or allow the devil's lies and his symptoms and every trick in the book that he tries to throw our way to get us off that word and deceive us, you say. So we have to make up our minds in a place, and that's not just for physical healing or things like this, but for everything in our life, we have to make up our minds that I'm going to follow Jesus and make his word first place no matter what happens. I'm going to do it because his word's true no matter what I see, what I feel, what my circumstances are. We have to have that type of tenacity, that type of an attitude, because we are tried. We are tried, you know, and sometimes God doesn't try us. He proves us. He doesn't tempt us. He tries us and he proves us, you say, and tests us. But we need to leave that word, because we learn in our difficult times, the hardest times we experience, we know where we learn where we're really at in faith. We know where we're at in our commitment to him. During the good times, you don't know where you are in the Lord. But it's during these hard times that you see, are you believing the Lord or are you fretting like the world, you say? Our answer to where we're at, the mirror for us is during our hard times of what our actions and reactions are. What do we turn to? Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So what do we have in our heart? That's why we are to hide his word in our hearts. We don't sin against him and we walk obediently to him. Okay, the last thing that I have here, lack of all provision, lack of provision. We don't have to be lacking in provision, and I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about life itself and whatever we have necessities of life, everything. You know, the 23rd Psalm kind of really sums it up. The first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that, isn't that something? The Lord's my shepherd. Well, is he our shepherd? Is he leading us? Is he leading us, you see? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is the Lord really leading us? If he is leading us, then he is our shepherd. And he said, "If I'm your shepherd, you will not want. You will not want." He says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, and this is really the foundation verse of everything here. It's a little bit like a 23rd Psalm. That's why I quoted that to you, the 23rd Psalm. It says in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, "According as his divine nature has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." In other words, he has given us everything that we have need of personally, and also everything we have need of to live a godly life as he wants us to live. The Lord wants us to live a godly life, you see. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy. Walk a godly, obedient life. Please me in all your ways, your actions, your reactions. Please me. Walk and live a holy life, an honorable life. Walk worthy of the vocation you're called. Don't be a phony. Don't be a hypocrite, but walk as you have been called to walk, as you don't bring reproach to me, he says. Now, he says, we have that, doesn't it? It says in the third verse, but if you look down here, as I read the fourth verse, after he said he'd given us everything we have need of, and life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him has called us to glory and virtue, notice 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby we are given exceeding great precious promises. So it's by the promises that we have these things, you see. And this confirms what I began to say in the beginning of this message, that the things that are promised to us, what we've been delivered from, what we have been delivered from in our lives right here, are things that are governed by his promises. You see, we are delivered from them, God says, and he shows us those promises in his word. But you and I have to take those promises and obey those promises, walk in those promises, you see. There's conditions of promises. And most of the time, on every promise and everything, the condition is a pure heart, a heart with no unforgiveness, a heart that is full of love, a heart of obedience, a heart free of sin. In other words, we need to examine ourselves. Is our hearts right? In fact, the Bible says in John 9:31, he says, God hears not the prayer of a sinner, but he that worships him and does his will. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, you see. So I have to make sure my heart is right. If I have a pure heart, and I'm obedient to the Lord, I can claim those promises. That's the big condition there. I can claim those promises. And when you claim a promise, when your heart is right, you make sure your heart is right. And then you go to that word and claim that promise. And when you claim that promise, after you claim that promise, you consider it done right there, because it began in the spirit. You might feel it, you might see it right there, but it began in the spirit world. And it will manifest in the natural world. It will come. It will manifest to you. But you water it by confessing it and believing it has happened. It's already happened. I have it. I thank you. The things that I desire, when I pray, I believe I receive them, and I will have them, Mark 11:24 says. And when you do that, you're going to receive. You're going to receive that from the Lord, you see. You have to believe that. You have to simply believe it's going to manifest for you and in your life. This is how we receive things of God, you see. A pure heart, we believe it by faith, we act upon that, and we consider it done. It's trusted to him, you see. And that's how we receive anything. It's just like in getting saved, when we come to Jesus Christ, we believe that we're sinners. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we believe if we call upon him, he died. Of course, he went to the cross, he bled. He died and he was resurrected for us. And he says that whoever calls upon my name will be saved. And when we ask him to forgive us for our sins, come into our heart and just take over our lives and be my God. Sir, I will serve you. I give myself to you. That's what saves us, because we're believing, first of all, that we're sinners, that he died for us. And we ask him to come into our heart, take over our life, and to save us. Then by faith, we accept that he heard that prayer and we're saved. And we start living like that and reading his word and going forth in him, you see. We receive everything from God like that in his promises. We have to do it that way, because it's all by faith, you see. Everything by God is by faith, you see. It's not by what feelings, it's not by what other people say, it's by what his word has declared for us already. So we have to realize that all these things that we are delivered from, we need to make sure we're not walking in those things, because too often, too many people are living a life that they should not be living in the realm of what they're putting up with. They're tolerating it. They've been passive, you see. And I don't say in these two lessons here, last week and tonight, as everything, as many other things. But as you listen to these two, and I would suggest you listen to last week's and also this week again, and put these things together and listen to these things, because you need to know the things that you don't have to tolerate or put up with. And that's why it's so important to study the Word and to know what the Word says about things, because what you don't know can hurt you. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if there's anything that's lacking in the body of Christ today, is lack of knowledge, you see. They say, I know the truth will set you free. But they don't know that truth. They don't act in that truth. And it's what you know is what you're going to believe and act upon. You're going to accept it. When you do that, it becomes a reality. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think that in your heart, the truth of the Word of God, it becomes a reality in your life. You see what I'm talking about? And this is what it's all about. Okay? I covered this pretty much. I finished up here with what I was going to speak to everybody about tonight. So this it's completed. Part two is completed on this. I will kind of reiterate a little bit on part one here. I'm not going to explain it, but we've been delivered from hell to go to heaven. We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from not knowing who we really are in Christ, not knowing who we really are. We've been delivered from fear, stress, worry, and depression, lack of purpose for our lives, letting our circumstances rule our lives, you see. Also, not always understanding and lack of discernment of what is happening in our lives. And we need to have all these things, or otherwise, these are the very things that can hurt us. These are the very things that discourage us, and that's why they're there, you see. So, I'm going to say right now, those that, that God has spoken to in any way, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I'm going to pray. And then after I'm done praying right here, I'm going to give you the information that I have here for you of the website and everything, and I want to say a few more words. But I want to pray, first of all, this is more important. I want to pray right now, and those that have needs, whatever that need might be, according to what was here or other needs, I'm going to pray a general prayer. And I want you just to open yourself up and receive what God has for you. Just be open to Him, because many times God will move in your life in areas you don't know anything about. And maybe you won't know what it's about till later, but He wants to move in your life. You see, it's just like when I first got saved, I didn't know what the Bible said about many things. It was new to me. But He had me do certain things. Then I found out later, oh, that's in the Bible. I didn't know the Bible said that. And that's what it is sometimes, what's going on now. Because we're in a new dispensation, well, not a new dispensation, but we're in a new season of time, and this is altogether different. God is getting ready and is moving now in ways that we have never seen before, because we're in for the greatest revival that this world has ever known. God is ready to shake this world. He really is, through his people. And this is the greatest time. So this is the time that He's teaching all of us. So let's look to the Lord in prayer now, and I want you to open your heart up now to receive what God has for you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, we thank you for this word tonight. And Father, for those that right now that sense the need, whatever it might be, or whatever they want to be set free from, or if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, Jesus, whatever it might be, I just speak your word. And in the name of Jesus, I speak right now for those that need you as Lord and Savior, that they will acknowledge that they're sinners and that you died for them. And you were buried and you resurrected for them. And all they have to do is ask you to come into their heart and just to take over your life, take over their lives, that you will be there, Father. And right now, I just say that to them right now, to receive that by faith right now, to invite Jesus into their life right now and to take over your life from this time forth. And He said in Romans 10:13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And those right now that are addicted to something, whether it's something that is not a bad thing or just bound to, or if it's something that's bad, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over all curses, all demonic activity, all things that have people bound right now that they're listening and want freed from. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I break your power off of each and every one right now that you have a hold on. Your mission is not accomplished. Your mission is stopped right now. You are taken away from that right now. I command you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Your mission is stopped, and you will not affect these people anymore. Their minds, their thought process, in the name of, yes, in minds right now. In minds, see, it's beginning in the mind. That's where he begins everything, is in that mind. Right now, I take authority over forces of darkness that are trying to interfere in minds right now. In Jesus' name, I command you to cease and leave. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. be free in your mind in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus, to make those decisions for the Lord right now and anything you need freed from. And I declare those right now that are addicted in any way, whether it's smoking, drinking, pornography, any force of darkness right now, I declare them set free in the name of Jesus. Set free in the name of Jesus right now. All demonic activity must stop in the lives of these listeners right now. It's stopped in the name of Jesus by the power of God, by the power and the authority of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. It stops right now. And Lord, let your holiness, your love, and your presence overwhelm these people right now in this listening audience. Let them be overwhelmed by your love and your power, bringing them to you and setting them free and giving them a new hope, a new life, a newness of life. Yes, he's releasing that now, that newness, that love, and that power, and that presence through that. There's a releasement now. I sense that releasement is going into the, through these airlines, these airways right now. I just sense it going through the lines right now, that there's a peace coming to you right now. It's a peace that he's giving you. He wants to take over your life. Just allow the Holy Spirit to direct you in this. Just allow him to direct you. He's bringing peace to you right now. He's showing you things. There's a peace. His love and his peace is just flowing through these lines. It's flowing through. I just sense it. I just sense it. There's a love. There's a great love. A great love and a great peace. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory right now for ministering to your people, Father, for ministering your love to your people, showing yourself as God to them and your great power and your great love and power, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So after we go off the air here, after these next few minutes I'm going to speak to you, I want you to go to your prayer closet, those that the Holy Spirit is ministering to, and just allow God just to minister to you. And those that go on later and listen to this message again, because probably about a half hour, an hour, it'll be on the on-demand section, and you can listen to the first lesson. And just leave the Holy Spirit minister to you as he directs you, because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, you see. And I felt that love going out tonight, his love through these airways right here, just going out through the airways. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I do know that love went through that. I just kind of felt that love just in my own heart, just all through me, and then I know it's going out through the lines. Okay, if you have your, in fact, first of all, I'd like to say this to you, not just for this program, for all programs on Reaching Out Radio International, I'd like you to give your testimony to Evangelist Montel Fields. When you have testimonies on it, you write in or contact on Facebook there, or myself, or any of the other ministers that are online here. Give the testimonies, because we need to hear testimonies of what is going on, because that blesses us. We want to be a blessing to you, and I know everybody here is a blessing. It's on Reaching Out Radio International. And you bless us by giving your testimonies of what God did through the program, whether it's my program or another program or whoever's program. It doesn't matter. The important thing is that there's testimonials coming forth. The Bible says in the 105th Psalm, the first verse, that we're to make known his deeds to the people. And we need to make known those deeds to the people. So I do encourage you to always to contact us with testimonies. That is the most important thing you can do, because, first of all, you're giving God glory. And you're being a blessing to us, because we know that we're accomplishing something as we get on the air here and as we minister and share God's word with you. So I really encourage you and ask that you would do that. I know Evangelist Montel feels the same way. I know all the other people feel the same way. They want to know what is happening, you see. So please let us know what's going on, any questions, any prayer requests, because we're here to serve you. The second thing I have right now, I wanted to go over with you shortly, is, as I mentioned earlier, about my email and also my website. And I want to give you my email, first of all, where you can contact me and email right here for anything, and my website also. First of all, it's called extendedhandsofjesus@yahoo.com. That's my email. And I'll go letter by letter on that. I just said it fast for you there. But extended, this is all small cases. Extended, extended, hands, hands, OOF, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, and that's at yahoo.com. Extended Hands of Jesus at yahoo.com. My website is www.tiny, and this is all small casing also, tinyurl.com/Ed Eberly. That's www.tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/Ed Eberly. And that's how you contact me. I have a book on there called Overpowering Influence of the Truth. And it's a powerful book in many areas. And it's really touched people in about any area you can think of. So I encourage you to look at that and everything. And I have a lot of testimonies on that. So there's a lot on that website. And this is for your spiritual enrichment also. So that's about everything that I have for you tonight. But what I do say in closing is that what God has begun in you, he wants to finish there. He said in Philippians 1:6, what I begin in you, I will complete it, you see. That's his promise. It's what he began, he will complete it until you leave this earth. So know what he began tonight, whether you just came to Jesus tonight or whether he's moving a certain area of your life as we've ministered on here, know that he wants to complete that and allow him to do it. That's the advice I can give you. Allow the Holy Spirit to do it because this is his program. He's directed what to do. So just allow him to minister to you, okay? All right. Well, you all have a blessed, God bless week, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you next week. You have a blessed week now. I love you all. Good evening now.